All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat tonight. We got Mr. Cool Dude is on. TJT1 is on. JGECK is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Hugo Stiglitz is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Gritterdom is on. Salty Godads is on. Auntie Mama is on. A Skunk 71 is on. Let me see. Richard Perry is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Let me see. Bob Corley is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Supergirl is on. Robin Aroni, saw you in church yesterday. Love you. Appreciate you. Is on. Real Wise is on. Mike Griffith is on. My Favorite Show is on. Veronica 18201 is on. PJ Wiles is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Charlie 340 is on. Rum Pierre is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Let me see here. Sheila K is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Jules 21 hours already in the rant. Thank you so much, Jules. Also saw you in church yesterday. Love you. Let me see here. Arcadia Angel is on. Agravane is on. K4VMS is on. Granite 24. 68 is on. Alligator is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Linesmanson is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Trisha Snow is on. Wisconsin. Honey Badger is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Les Cruz Brown is on. Producer Aaron is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Mark 1069 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. B Haven is on. Let me grab two more. We're going to go. Let's see here. Ever Eden is on. One more. Lisa Kinzer is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this. So I know this is really frightening for everybody, but we're on the verge of government shutdown, even though it'd have zero effect on you whatsoever. But yet it's supposed to be just like COVID, just like climate change, just like everything else. It's supposed to feel like an existential threat to your very life, that we're going to have a government shutdown, a government who goes trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, no matter who's in charge, Republicans or Democrats. If the Democrats get their budget, we will be, and I'm trying to remember who this source was, Rand Paul. If the Republicans got their budget, it would only put us $2 trillion more in debt.
Oh, okay.
If the Democrats got their budget, it would put us $3 trillion more in debt.
Oh.
All in the fiscal year, which is October of 2025 to October 2026. So that tells you how much better are the Republicans are than the Democrats. $1 trillion better, but $1 trillion worth of debt better. So we're already $37 trillion in debt. So if the Republicans' bill is passed, we will go $40 trillion in debt. If the Democrats' bill passes, we'll go $41 trillion in debt. How's that sound? All in 1 year. All in 1 year, we'll add $2 to $3 trillion worth of debt, depending on which party's budget plan gets passed. And if they compromise, I guess we'll go $2.5 trillion more into debt. How's that sound? Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? And another thing, I'm stealing, I got a Rand Paul right here. I'll let Rand Paul do that talk because I'm stealing his thunder. Got a video on it. But anyway, here's Schumer, Eric Doherty video. Chuck Schumer says he tried to guilt trip President Trump. This is Doherty, right? Not what Schumer said. In an Oval Office, bringing up a child with cancer while demanding Trump back his spending plan that funds illegal alien health care and transgender surgeries for kids. Play for me.
Now to the president. Some of the consequences of what's happening in healthcare. And by his face and by the way he looked, I think he heard about them for the first time. The closing of rural hospitals. The fact that so many clinics are closing. And I don't know if he knew this before, but the fact that people will pay $4,000 more a year, $400 more a month, close to $5,000 more a year on their healthcare premiums if we don't do anything. And people don't know what to do. The average working family can't afford that. I told him how I met a mother who was crying to me because her daughter had cancer. And what has happened with health care, with what they have done, she's going to watch her daughter suffer and maybe die. And so he seemed to, for the first time, understand the magnitude of this crisis. And we hope he'll talk to the Republican leaders and tell them we need bipartisan input on.
Okay, so basically, let's just sum this whole thing up. Lies, a liar, who lies and then lies about his lies. That's who Schumer is, of course, standing next to Hakeem Jeffries. So this, basically everything that Chuck Schumer said was blatantly not true. Not one thing. Now, let's just break it down for just a moment, shall we? Let's break it down. So I told them, this is what Schumer said, that I met with a mother who was crying because her daughter has cancer. How many of you believe that's true? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that Chuck Schumer, who looks down his nose on every single American outside of himself, how many of you believe that he actually met with a mother who was crying about her daughter with cancer? Well, I can understand crying about cancer. And what they have done, she's going to watch her suffer and maybe die. Okay, when has that ever happened? Can anybody name that? Please name that. Because in America, you're mandated, even if you are an illegal alien, all emergency rooms are mandated by law to render care.
Yep.
Every time. Every single time, there's nothing they can do about it. In order for you to get your license to be in an emergency room, you actually have to render care to all who show up, whether they pay or not, which is part of the reason why you and I have to pay so much, because a lot of people run out on their bills. So we all know that that story in and of itself is a lie. The possibility that this girl is going to die is a lie. And by the way, anything that actually occurred, if there were any of this implementation of these Medicare slash Medicaid cuts, any cuts that actually occur wouldn't start till February. We are not even in October yet. And the only thing that these cuts apply to, the only people that these cuts apply to, are able-bodied people who can work and illegal aliens. So everything this man, look at this guy. Look, I mean, this is what it means. This is what it looks like to be a liar who lies and lies about your lies. Both these idiots, both these two, just absolute liars with Satan. I got his hand up their anal puppet shoots. Talk, do what I want you to say, Chuck. Just lie so you can continue to enrich yourself. And that's not one thing the man said is actually true. Not one thing. Not one thing. We know the story's a lie. That nobody ever watches their kid die of cancer untreated in the United States. Give me one name. Give me one name. There isn't any. Now, if you want to go up to, you want to go to the socialized, and basically we are listing heavily towards being socialized in our medical system. And the only reason why everything is so expensive is because of government involvement in our healthcare. But anyway, don't have time to get into that. But you just go to, let's say Great Britain, where they have 700,000 people waiting to be treated right now. Right now. When does that happen here? Never. I've told this story 1,000 times on this podcast. I had a man who attended this church who needed a knee replacement, could not even get around. He's a Canadian citizen, was waiting for his free knee replacement surgery in Canada. He was on a 3-year waiting list. That's a 1-month wait in the state of Florida or anywhere in the United States. 1 month. You need a knee replacement. We'll schedule you for a month from now. If that. If there's open, it'll be 2 days. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 1 day. There he had already been waiting for over 3 years. I mean, not over. He was on a list for 3 years and had already been waiting a substantive amount of time before that. So please, this just doesn't happen. If it starts to happen here and we actually have kids dying without being treated, I'll of course put that on the podcast. But it doesn't exist. I can't even get it out of my mouth because it doesn't exist. This guy, I can't even get things that are presumptive lies out of my mouth. This guy just lies for a living. You know that if his mouth is moving, he is lying. Same with the idiot next to him named Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House. All right, so let's go to the next one. Peter St. Ange video. And I don't always like to launch the podcast with econ stuff, but you know what? Econ stuff is front page right now. All right, so Peter St. Ange video. The federal government could shut down tomorrow at midnight. Ooh, and by the way, I think Trump wants to shut it down. And you know what? He should for the reasons outlined by Peter St. Ange. Play it for me.
The federal government is about to run out of spending authority, meaning every federal activity Donald Trump deems not essential is shut down. This happens, this would instantly lay off hundreds of thousands of federal bureaucrats, no DOGE required. In fact, the White House has already ordered federal agencies to, quote, prepare mass layoff plans, but also automatically defund an army of millions of left-wing NGOs. It would instantly balance the federal budget. Who knew it was that easy? So federal spending is voted 1 year at a time, and it runs out at midnight tomorrow. Republicans in Congress proposed extending spending, so-called clean continuing resolution. The Democrats demanded over $1 trillion in new money for health care for illegals, health care for able-bodied Medicaid recipients, along with refunding foreign aid, NPR, and PBS. In other words, demands they knew Republicans cannot accept. Now, last time we hit a shutdown in March, Democrats surrendered to protect their federal workers from DOGE. This time, it looks like the activists are forcing them to fight. Of course, Republicans should want a shutdown to slash the federal oligarchy, but they historically wimp out because legacy media always blames Republicans when government workers make shutdowns as painful as possible. Indeed, a passel of recent polls showed voters would disproportionately blame the GOP. One says 34% blame Republicans, 23% blame Dems, 34% blame both. Of course, media polls could be fake. The day before the 2024 election, polls had Trump at -9 approval. 24 hours later, he won the election. More important, done right, a shutdown should be popular. So historically, our occupying bureaucracy intentionally made shutdowns painful. They cut school lunches, threaten Social Security, close national parks. In fact, they spend extra money to fence off national parks. There's actually a name for this, the Washington Monument Strategy, also known as Firemen First or School Lunches First. Thing is, it does not have to be this way. Trump alone gets to decide which parts are essential and therefore stay open. So keep the parks, keep the school lunches, fire the rest. In practice, that would be at least a third of the federal government shut down, the parts voters don't like. Then keep paying the essentials with incoming tax revenue. Now, this is not necessarily legal, but Democrats are not stupid enough to block Social Security checks and military pay for potentially months. So if they had a pair, Republicans in Congress would shut it down for years. This is fun for a number of reasons. First, shutting down a third of the federal government saves $200 billion per month. That would instantly balance the budget. In fact, we'd be in surplus. Even better, a durable shutdown lays off 740,000 federal workers, about four times what they did with DOGE. Note, federal grants also pay an estimated 3 million employees of overwhelmingly left-wing NGOs. Those would all be gone. In other words, a real shutdown would wipe out the progressive revolution. They'd be down to brainwashed college students. So what's next? Brought to you by iTrust Capital. We've dreamed the dream too many times to hope for much. Odds on prediction market calcium are 64% for a shutdown this year. But going by history, it won't last long. Too many rhinos are afraid of the media or of donors. But if Dems want the fight, and if Trump steps up, it could get very interesting.
It's not even that rhinos are afraid of the media. They agree with the media. They agree with the Democratic Party. Whether, you know, again, we can name them all, whether it's Cornyn, whether it's Graham, whether it's McConnell, whether it's Collins, whether it's Murkowski, and basically every single Republican senator. And I'm a staunch Republican. I believe in the Republican Party platform. I don't believe in Republicans, but I do believe in the Republican Party platform. Outside of like Rand Paul and Ron Johnson and Mike Lee and maybe one or two others, and a lot of the ones that appear like Tom Cotton or John Kennedy, which appear to be conservative, when push comes to shove, they always acquiesce and vote with Democrats. When it really matters, they always do, every single time. But anyway, I don't have time to digress and all that. So just into this. So if the government shuts down tomorrow, we only have 26 and a half hours or so until it could be shut down, Aaron. It could be over.
Oh, no.
What does it matter?
Yeah.
None of us get anything out of it except our taxes being taken out of our paychecks. Somewhere between 20 and 40% of your paycheck is gone for what? Wouldn't it be great if it actually correlated with the government shutdown? They know for that period of time they don't take the money out of your paycheck. How many people would then, even Republicans, even Democrats, how many of them would say we don't need the federal government? Mm-hmm. If it actually said, well, during the shutdown, there's no need for us to extract that money out of your paycheck. I bet you there'd be a whole lot of Americans who went, you know what? I don't need the federal government. Which, by the way, we don't, outside of a military and maybe a national transportation system, i.e. interstates, I-75 and various others, whatever it may be. I mean, I'm all for Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, all that. But Space Force, I'm for all of that. But all the rest of it, no. So if they shut down the government, this is the interesting part. Trump can leverage sort of a essential discretion sort of non-written policy, which means that he doesn't legitimately have this power, but as outlined by Peter St. Ange, he can use it because the Democrats wouldn't dare trample on it. So what I mean by that is they basically allow the president, Republican or Democrat, to deem that which is essential, and whatever is essential has to be paid for even during a shutdown, and it's paid for by incoming tax revenue. So Donald Trump can march around like during the COVID era and go, you're essential. No, you're essential. You're essential. You're essential. And that Democrats would never, ever trample on that, because he's going to say what is essential is the military. So he can go around and deem things as non-essential. If it's shut down, all Democratic Party NGOs are automatically defunded. How does that hurt any of us? The only reason why. Now, I'm going to try not to go on a 20. I promise. I'm not going to go on a 20-minute rampage on this. That the whole world is about, the whole United States is about NGOs. And the only reason why we're in the debt that we are is because of NGOs. It's got nothing to do with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. It's got nothing to do with it. It really has nothing to do with it. I mean, there's cuts that need to be made there, but I'm just saying it's nothing to do with it. It has to do with funding our own political demise. You and I, every single day of our lives, via the 40%, 20 to 40% of our income that is taken out of our paychecks, you and I fund our political opposition. We fund those nasty, disgusting, demonic people. You and I do every day. It's not up to us. It's not our fault, but we do. And if it gets shut down, if the government gets shut down, all those NGOs are automatically defunded. They don't get that money. And again, I'm looking at the clock because I promised I wouldn't go on a long montage on this. But I mean, so you and I wouldn't be funding, you know, like the National Endowment for Democracy, which is the CIA cutout. What has that ever done for us except for push the Democratic Party, spread the Democratic Party, propagate the Democratic Party agenda and narrative around the globe? That's all that it does, which isn't even the Democratic Party narrative and agenda. It's the globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist narrative all around the world. That's all that it does. And you and I pay for that. And all of that gets defunded. The NGOs that receive billions upon hundreds of billions of dollars that are fully staffed by Democrats, who hire Democrats, who retain Democratic Party attorneys and give to Democratic Party campaigns. That's what's happening. That's why I say, I don't know who's a legitimate billionaire and who's not. Because a lot of these billionaires got their startups from you and I.
Yep.
They got startups from you and I giving them $37 billion. For what? What do you and I get out of it? Nothing. That's one of those people's George Soros. All the political action that you see George Soros take, whether it's hiring his district attorneys all around the globe, all around the United States. I think it's like 75 of them or more. I can't remember how many there. Maybe more than that. But anyway, all the district attorneys that he ends up campaigning for, and he funds their campaigns, all of them, he didn't never spent one of his own dollars. Now his own earnings are very questionable, because it has to do with currency manipulation. And where does he get the currency for the currency manipulation? But again, I digress. So anyway, he spends all the money that he gets through his Open Society Foundation. Aaron, what's Open Society Foundation?
NGO.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you and I pay for George Soros to campaign for, to pay for the campaigns. You and I pay George Soros to pay for the campaigns of people like, you know, like Larry Krasner. You and I, Philadelphia DA. Kim Fox, that's Jesse Smollett's, that district attorney. You and I actually pay for that, because he doesn't pay for one dime of their campaigns out of his own money. He pays for it via his NGO. J.B. Pritzker oversees 29 NGOs. I'm sure they're doing a lot of conservative activism. So they automatically are defunded. If you shut down the government now, we save $200 billion a month, automatically making us have a balanced budget. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now, what about the government workers? Fire them all. Outside of the military and a few others, I want the entire FBI fired. I want the ATF fired. I want the DEA fired. Outside of the military, fire them all. Fire them all. And then we will construct a national police force and a national intelligence service on our own, with government accountability, by our elected officials, where they are not allowed to go into those hearings and say, well, I'll discuss it with you in private. Not going to happen. Put it all into law. So anyway, So all this concern, well, I'm very concerned that these people won't get their paychecks. I'm not at all. Fire them all. And I'm naming, there's probably a few that I didn't name that need to keep their jobs, but very few. I mean, Trump administration alone has 4 million employees underneath. I mean, fire them all. Fire them all. There's no, you and I have never received any benefits from any of these people ever. And only 6% of them actually show up to work prior to the Trump administration taking power. So what the Republicans want to get this is an equal opportunity offending podcast. Republicans just wanted to continue spending on Biden levels, its current levels. It's just Biden levels, by the way. Not under Trump, Tom. Yes. I mean, Eric Barron puts up debt clock. You'll see it has not slowed down at all since Donald Trump has taken office. I wish it had. If he gets it to slow down, or he can't just slow it down. He's got to reverse it in order to be the greatest president of all time. If he does, he's the greatest president of all time, my opinion. But the Republicans just want, hey, let's just keep on spending at $2 trillion per year deficit levels. Does anybody get that? Does everybody understand that that our country brings in between $4 and $5 trillion worth of tax revenue when we go into debt? Can you explain that to me? Why? So we can fund Democratic Party NGOs. That's it. It isn't the military. It's not Social Security. It's not Medicaid. It's funding Democratic Party NGOs. $21 trillion missing in the Pentagon alone. Yeah. That $21 trillion out of the $37 trillion is in the Pentagon. I have no idea where it is. Who has not passed an audit for 7 straight years, and it's probably 70 straight years. But we know seven straight years outside of the Marine Corps. And so Democrats, that wasn't good enough for them. That wasn't good enough for them. They're like, we don't want to continue to spend at just $2 trillion per year deficit levels. We want to add another trillion to that because we want to make sure that everybody can get trans surgery whenever they want and every illegal can get Medicaid. So we need another $1 trillion deficit added onto our $2 trillion deficit, which the deficit automatically translates into deficit. That's what it is. So here's Rand Paul on the floor of the Senate. Or I don't think he's on the floor of the Senate. It's a different one. So here's Rand Paul on a talking head show. Both parties are bankrupting America. Play for me.
The president is basically expecting a shutdown and possibly to carry out these mass layoffs. Do you think all of this is just a threat to make Democrats fold?
Well, I think both sides have to look at the proposals for spending and decide, you know, what is the best way forward for the country. The Republican proposal adds about $2 trillion in debt over the next year, so it'll be short $2 trillion. So I oppose the Republican plan because it adds debt. The Democrat plan would add $3 trillion in debt. So really, both plans are laden with deficit spending, and I think that's the biggest problem that our country faces. So I've actually proposed an alternative. I've proposed a penny plan, which would cut a little bit across the board, and my plan would balance over about 5 years. We got a vote on mine last week, and 36 Republicans supported it, 16 didn't, and no Democrats did. So my plan didn't pass either. But the plan that I would support would be a plan that reduces spending and reduces deficit spending.
So out of 53 Republicans, only 36 voted for the penny plan. So that just tells you who it is. And what is the penny plan? Cutting one penny off of every dollar worth of government spending. That's it. 99 cents out of every dollar continues to be spent. And nobody votes for it outside of 36 Republicans out of the 100 that are in the Senate. 36 out of 100. And so what is it? So with 27 Republicans voted against it, if my math is correct, 27 Republicans voted against the penny plan. They voted against cutting spending, and this is a conservative party. It's all a lie. They are simply holding those seats. They're Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans. I'm talking about the John Cornyns and the John Thunes of the world who have somewhere between a 49 and 51% liberty score. In other words, they vote with Democrats at least half the time. I'm talking about Thune and Cornyn. Our Senate majority leader votes 51% of the time with Chuck Schumer. But he looks conservative. He looks like a Southern Baptist. So we all think, woo, he's conservative. No, true. He's not. He is a baby butchering, transgender believing leftist. That's who he is. That's who he is. Cornyn votes for red flag laws. He wants guns out of your hands. It's who these people are. John Cornyn saying to Christopher, I believe you're a man of integrity. No, it's the Comer, the Comey. I believe you're James Comer. James Comey is a man of integrity. I mean, he either lives in absolutely sweet oblivion or abject stupidity. That's who these people are. So that's all the votes he get for his penny plan. The video that I thought that I put in was this one. I don't even think I sent it. It's weird because I think that I sent him in the show and I didn't. But anyway, in my mind I did. But anyway, it's there in my mind. It's there in my mind. But anyway, so he's on the Senate floor and I'll just tell you this briefly. He's on the Senate floor giving a speech about this budget, and he was talking about, so 1 year ago, so let's just say last summer, when they were voting on this exact same budget, so 1 year ago, because the budget starts fiscal year October, goes October to October's fiscal year. When they were voting on this last year, the Democrats, because it was, whose name was behind it last year? Joseph Robinette Biden voted for the exact same budget. They were all in favor of it, keeping it at $2 trillion deficits. They all voted for it. And the bent over, butt cheek grabbing Republicans signed right on for another CR. But now that Trump has it, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same budget. Exact same budget. Get this now. He's not cutting anything to Medicaid. He's just simply saying illegals can't use it. There's no cuts. And they just presuppose what they do is go, well, if illegals were to use it, how much would that be? $1 trillion. All right, we need that. That's what they're saying. And they call that a cut. Now, if you and I do that, we go to federal prison. If they do that, they get reelected. Because the left is so galactically stupid. If you happen to be a leftist and you're watching this show right now, why don't you just stop being stupid? I mean, just really, this is the greatest preaching you'll ever hear. Stop it. Stop being stupid. It is a child that you're aborting. Deficits and debts are not good. We're $37 trillion in debt. Stop being stupid. The border was open under Joe Biden. All those people you saw pouring in, that means open. So 1 year ago, they're having the same debate. And this exact same budget. And the Democrats were all for it because it had Biden's name on it. It's the exact same budget again. And because Trump's name's on it, they're all against it and want another $1 trillion. Imagine being somebody in office knowing that we're $37 trillion in debt, on the cusp of $38 trillion in debt, because every 22 seconds, we add $1 million to our debt. Every 22 seconds. I can show you it on the debt clock. Every 22 seconds, $1 million is added to our debt. And Democrats, their galactic intelligence, their reasonableness, their elitism tells them that, you know what, we need to add another $1 trillion worth of debt to our debt. Really interesting. Go to the next one for me. Benny Johnson tweet. Massive, over 100,000 federal employees are reportedly set to resign. They expect us to cry over it. The Guardian puts this out as if people are going to cry over this. I'm like, please resign. Don't do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Send the email tonight. Go ahead and resign. We want you to resign. We want you to have no job in the federal government. As a matter of fact, I want you to resign, and then I want your job extinguished from existence. How do you like that? Fire them all. We literally need 1/1,000th of the federal employees that we have. 1/1,000th, if that, probably 1/3,000-4,000th of what we have right now. Fire them all. There's a 4 million person federal workforce. Goodbye, who never has done one thing for you and never done one thing for me. Let them go. Are reportedly set to resign tomorrow in the largest mass resignation in U.S. history. Oh man, Trump is setting records. More and more winning. I think it's great. But the government workers won't get paid. Good. I don't want you to get paid. We don't want a socialized government. This is a federalist constitutional republic. We don't need socialism. Goodbye. Go home. Get a job. Start at McDonald's. Maybe you'll be a manager in a couple months. U.S. history under President Trump's plan to cut the federal workforce. So what Trump is doing here, possibly, now this goes against the logic of Peter St. Ange, although I mean, he wasn't really talking about Trump. He's just talking about normal Republicans. Normally Republicans wimp out because they're afraid of what the media is going to write about them. Oh, the government's not issuing the permits to the shrimp fishermen. The government's not issuing permits for the corn farmer, whatever it is. That's what they do. And then the Republicans all give into it. No, what you do is use this, because if you shut the government down, Trump can just cut, he just deems the department, whatever department it may be, non-essential. And their jobs no longer exist permanently. And then it would take the legislative process. Can you imagine that? To get those jobs reestablished. No, cut them. Let the government shut down for all the month of October and cut half of the federal workforce. Do it. That's what it takes right now. Democrats want to talk fire. Kamala in the pregame. We got to fight fire. Remember, suddenly she's ethnic again. Got to fight fire with fire. Remember? Well, it's fire. Go ahead. We're going to fight fire. We're not going to be violent. You want to fight fire with fire? Absolutely no problem. You know what we're going to do is we're going to cut the federal workforce. That's why you'd never believe the job numbers that come out right now, because Trump is dropping government jobs only. Oh, the unemployment rate is this, the unemployment rate is that. It's all has to do with government jobs. Just ignore it. So this is great news. I hope that it happens. The Guardian reports it as if it's dire news in a country with $37 trillion in debt. And part of the reason why we're $37 trillion in debt is we're paying those 100,000 workers who do nothing. They don't even show up for work. 6% of the federal workforce actually shows up for work prior to the Trump administration. It's not bad news. All right, let's switch subjects. Let's go to global cabal now. Basil the Great video. Here's Keir Starmer. Now, I played this in church yesterday, preached an entire message on it out of Revelation 13 and 14. It causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17, which is what makes this podcast different, because we merge the Bible with what is happening in the political realm. And when you go and you are Keir Starmer and you walk up to a podium like this and you say, you know what? We are now mandating digital ID, which, by the way, let me just translate that for everyone. It's biometric digital ID, which means that it's activated. You only have access to facial recognition, fingerprints, whatever else, voice recognition, and anything else. It's biometric with a digital wallet. So it's biometric ID, which means includes your passport, your medical records, your credit cards, your bank, your ATM card, whatever it is. It's all on your biometric ID. You don't need cards anymore. It's all your biometric ID that accesses all of those things. Larry Ellison is advocating right now, and we're going to get to all this, is advocating for all information to be consolidated. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? Only if you're an idiot. Because then they determine who has access to all the information, all your credit card numbers, all your ATM cards. Everything, anything and everything. All your medical records. You talk about Chuck Schumer talking about somebody in need of medical care. You're in need of medical care? Well, they say, you know, your account's shut down until you vote correctly. Oh, that'll never happen. It's already happened. We all saw Chrystia Freeland laughing about it 2 years ago when he had the trucker convoy up in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. They go up there. They just do a peaceful trucker rally. Didn't even shut down roads. Honk their horns a little bit, but other than that, I mean, there's nothing to it. And they froze their bank accounts. They froze the bank accounts of those who financially supported the convoy. It's already happened. You don't vote correctly. You don't political correctly. You know, we'll shut your bank account down. That's the point of all of it. Yep. So listen to this. Based on the great video, Keir Starmer collapses under questioning on digital ID. Play for me.
One of our viewers got in touch and wanted us to ask this question. Russ Brown wanted us to ask you if you really believe that those profiting from human trafficking will think, oh dear, I have to check your digital ID now. I can't carry on paying you £1.50 an hour to work in my sweatshop.
I am absolutely convinced that amongst the reasons that people travel through France, which is a safe country, to come to the United Kingdom, amongst the reasons is because it's easier to work in our illegal economy than it is in other countries. And we have to deal with that.
Bosses who are prepared to hire people illegally are not asking them for their national insurance card. So what's the evidence? What makes you think they're suddenly going to ask them for a digital ID?
We need to be really clear. You must have ID, mandatory digital ID, in order to work, because we have to stop illegal working. If you look at any of the raids, we've massively increased the number of raids on working premises. It is absolutely clear that people are working illegally in numbers.
But why do you think that them having a digital ID, having to have a digital ID, would stop that problem when right now people are meant to have a national insurance number and card, and if they're not asked for that a boss is willing already to break the rules. What's the difference going to be?
Well, the difference is this is on point of starting, not a retrospective exercise as it now is. It is an automatic collection of the information by the government, so we know exactly who is working in our economy, and it will help us enforce the rules that are there. But there's no point, people saying to me, why do we need it, when we all acknowledge there is a problem. People are working illegally in our economy. It is amongst the reasons that people want to come to the United Kingdom. We have to deal with that. I made a pledge that we would do whatever was necessary, use whatever tools were available to deal with illegal migration. I intend to do so.
So what happened was, last Friday, I believe it was, or sometime last week, he put out, he's giving a speech, and of course the video got put out, that you were mandated in the UK, in order for you to work, you had to have a digital ID. And again, and I know everybody is red-pilled that watches this show, but I'm just saying, just to make sure people understand, what that simply is somebody else being at the spigot of everything of who you are. Your insurance, your passport, your driver's license, all your credit cards, your ATMs, anything and everything that you have. I can't even think of anything because I don't do much outside of buy Slurpees every day. I don't really do a whole lot, so I don't really know how the world works. I mean, I very much anymore. I really don't. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to turn the lights on this room. I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, I depend on people like Garen. But anyway, bottom line is, if you don't get a digital ID, which is a government ID, again, what is the cause? What is the narrative? What is the agenda of the globalist left, which includes the Democratic Party and most of the Republican Party, to leverage you? You see it right now. Palantir is in full bloom under the Trump administration. I don't think Trump understands what's behind that. I don't think he understands the big picture when it comes to Palantir.
No.
But because he just looks at it as, we need to get ahead in the AI race, like almost like we're back in the space race. But anyway, What it's all about is leveraging you into a one world commerce system. Please, I know I say this all the time, but please understand, a one world commerce system, Larry Ellison style, one, merging of all information. Information doesn't just mean knowledge and data. It means all information, all access codes, all everything. Your ability to buy, sell, trade, or travel, all merged together. They want this. With a singular access point to all it. So leveraging into one world commerce system with a singular access point to all that commerce, and that access point controlled by them. That's digital ID, because the way that you get in to all of those things is via a digital ID. Not your driver's license anymore. Not just simply being able to pay cash. That cash is the way out of all this. I would rather be walking around with gold than dealing with this. But they always say, well, it's just not very convenient to walk around with the gold. I'll walk around with the gold. I'll walk around with the quarters. I don't care what it is. I'd rather go back to all that. It made me very nervous when we went to ATM cards. All the direct withdrawal cards. What do you call them, Aaron? ATM card? Debit cards. Yeah. See, I told you. I don't know what I'm doing. So debit cards. Yeah, we went to all that. As soon as I saw that, I went bleep, and my antenna went up. I'm like, cashless society. Because once it goes into digital and it's all a QR code on your phone, it can be turned off. It's already happened. We've already seen it happen. All of the infrastructure for CBDC, social credit systems, digital IDs, digital passports, biometric IDs, was all that infrastructure was put in place when? In 2021 for the vaccine passports, which was another reason why they put out the vaccine passports. So now in Great Britain, you can't work without a government digital ID that can be turned off, which would turn off your ability to work. Right now, you don't need it. You just need to have insurance. And even then, right now, a lot of the companies don't even require you to show that. But now, they're all going to be required. All the companies are going to be required to require digital ID. Otherwise, they will themselves will be fined. It's like what Biden did with vaccine passports. He promised that he was never going to mandate the vaccination right before he mandated the vaccination. And then he went to every single company. Remember this. It wasn't just government contractor companies. A lot of times I get that wrong. I forget about this. But it was all companies with more than 100 employees.
Correct.
They could not, you were not allowed to run your company, have your workers show up for work without being vaccinated if you had more than 100 employees, which made, of course, no sense. The only sense that it makes is government wants to control those companies. But they said, well, you can defy the rule. It's because it's, remember, Aaron, it's all what?
Voluntary. Yeah, of course.
But you just pay $100,000 per day for unvaccinated employees that are working without being vaccinated. $100,000 per day. So $700,000 per week, or $500,000 per week per unvaccinated employee. For a company with 174 employees, you're bankrupt inside of a week. So they say that it's voluntary. So what you can choose is voluntary means you can make your own decisions. So you can decide to be bankrupt or not. Those are your decisions, right? So that's fine. And get what Keir Starmer says. So what does he say? Right out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 2, running through verse 4. For when they shall say peace and safety. So what he's saying is, you know what? Because we're having this run on our borders, we're having this mass illegal migration in the country that he, of course, is allowing, that he himself is perpetuating, and that he himself caused, and that he himself covered up all the rapes having to do with illegal migration. He says the reason why we need this digital ID is so that these foreign workers have to have, this whole thing just opens up because God gives revelation. It just opens up into my mind. So here's how it works. So he caused the problem. So what he's saying is we want to make sure all these foreign, get this, Aaron, yeah, these foreign born workers are registered.
Right.
So because of the immigration problems that we have, who caused the immigration problems? Keir Starmer and his Labor Party. Yep. So now he's offering the solutions to the problems that he caused, which is worse than the problem. And now it goes right into my narrative. Why do they flood first world countries? Who's they? Globalist elitist bourgeois elitists coming out of Davos, London, everywhere else, Glasgow and everywhere else. Why do they flood first world country with third world low IQ inbred Pakistanis? Why do they do it? And I'm just using the low IQ inbred Pakistanis as like a summation of all the illegals that are pouring into these countries. And of course, that's not fair to all of them. I'm just saying that just to be mean. So why do they do it? Why do they flood them? So they can get them on digital IDs. Because here's the thing. If you come into the new America, just using America, and there in Great Britain, it's a Charter of Rights. In Canada, it's a Charter of Rights, parliamentary rule, whatever. But just use America as an example. So if you flood America, as Biden did, with somewhere between 15 and 30 million illegals in 4 years, all of those people have no heritage connection to our country. They don't understand the Bill of Rights. They don't understand the Declaration of Independence. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't know about their rights. So they all just sign up for digital ID. That's exactly what's happening in Great Britain. They sign up for it. So they're very easily globally governed. Which is what Larry Ellison wants out of Oracle. Mm-hmm. It's what he wants. It's what Peter Thiel wants. They all want it because they'll all make billions. As I said in church on Sunday, they'll be behind guns and walls eating ribeyes while you and I have no guns, no walls, no police eating bug eyes. That's what they want. So they flood these first world countries with third world immigrants. So that they are very easily globally governed because they have no heritage connection to the country they're illegally migrating into, i.e. what Keir Starmer. And then Keir Starmer comes on. He looks conservative. He's got his Poindexter glasses on. He's got his hair perfectly combed. He's got his suit on. And he doesn't act like the monster that he is. He caused all the mass rapes, all the mass murders inside of his country, and now offers his little solution to it, which is digital ID. Well, at least we're going to be able to track all these new workers. So he causes the problem and then offers his totalitarian solution. Just so you know, that's what it's all about. Leveraging you into a one-world commerce system with a single access point to all commerce controlled by people like Keir Starmer and Jacinda Ardern and Justin Trudeau and the Bidens and the Bushes and the Obamas and anybody else you could possibly name that fits in that category. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, and of course he's trying to placate to like conservatives too by saying, oh, it's not for any other reason except for these workers. Like you said, the problem that he started, that right, he caused. But you have to play off of people's fears. Right. So you have to be like, all these people that are coming in to replace you and stuff, we want to get rid of that, and we can do that with digital ID.
Right. Right. So they all have to register to work. But again, it's so simple. They cause the problem, so they just simply make them up. They make it up. There is no problem of climate change. They just say there's a problem and then offer their totalitarian solutions, which, by the way, that's all linked in digital IDs also. That's all linked into social credit systems. If you're like Aaron and I, you like to burn some wood during the cooler months of the year.
Yeah.
Nope. And if you do, Aaron's going to lose social credit points so that he now is having his behavior governed. by globalist leftist bourgeois elitists.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. Yeah, good luck. I'm certainly not going to be ruled on my knees. I can guarantee you that.
No.
All right, so let's go to the next one. Well, this is the cabal section of the show. Watcher Guru, just in, Microsoft, whatever that is. I guess that's their stock trading symbol.
Yeah.
Terminates Israeli military's access to its technology after uncovering mass civilian surveillance system violating its terms. So the Israeli government under conservative, Aaron, he's conservative.
Of course.
Conservative,
of course.
Benjamin Netanyahu, yeah. Who wants biometric ID in his country also, and was a vaccine whore himself.
Yep.
And just loves lab-grown meat. Loves it. Not for himself, but for you. So says it tastes like salmon. But anyway, that's what he said. So anyway, what they find out, and by the way, We had all of our Microsoft technology in the Pentagon that was actually installed by the Chinese in our own Pentagon.
Yes.
What's going on? These are all the experts. These are all the experts that we default to these experts all the time. And I said we default to these experts. It's time for all of us to look at our quote unquote leaders and call them what they are. Idiots. That's why we had to have somebody new, Donald J. Trump. That's why I had to have somebody new, because they are idiots, and purposely so. They're either idiots or they're stupid or some combination therein. Or they're idiots or evil or some combination therein. So here you have it. So here you have Microsoft terminates its Israeli military's access to its technology because they were using it to mass surveil their civilian population. But don't worry, Aaron. No. Don't worry, Brian. That's not happening here.
No.
I mean, they just found out the NSA was recording every single one of our phone calls and our internet queries.
Mm.
Yeah. it's for all national security purposes.
Tom, if you have nothing to hide.
I mean, you're right. Aaron's right. Aaron's right. That's what I learned from our experts, from our leaders. If I have nothing to hide, then you don't need to worry about being investigated.
Yeah.
You don't worry. You don't need to worry about being surveilled. You don't need to worry about your First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, all the way through amendment rights being violated. You don't need to worry about that whatsoever because you have nothing to hide.
Right.
And by the way, we all have something to hide.
That's true.
We do. So just so you know, that's what's going on there. All right, let me go to this Michael Schellenberger video. Did I get that? Did I say that to you? I didn't. I don't even remember saying that during the download.
Yeah,
did I say it? Nice. I don't remember it. Yeah. Woo. All right, the man behind the... Oh, here's Larry. The man behind the digital ID push is Larry Ellison. That's him right there. Owner of Oracle, CBS... owner... I didn't even know this till I read it. I knew about Oracle. Owner of Oracle, CBS, CNN, and soon... the hottest social media platform on the planet, TikTok. Can anybody guess what country he comes from? Anybody guess? Aaron, go ahead. What do you think?
Israel.
But don't worry. It's all conspiracy.
Of course.
I mean, just in case. Just in case.
Don't notice anything, Tom. Don't.
Just in case, though. Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk's assassin, a legend. Confirmed to be part of a CIA advanced program for college students. the Center for Anticipatory Intelligence, which, by the way, get this. It's so funny. Please. CIA and Mossad are one, by the way, just so you know. And by the way, that has been publicly attested to by Thomas Massey. CIA and Mossad are indistinguishable. They're so merged. But get this. This is so governmental. Tyler Robinson confirmed to be part of a CIA advanced program called the CIA. It's CIA, which is, of course, Central Intelligence Agency. Oh, no. Yeah. No, it is. No. Okay. I messed it up. So he's part of, Tyler Robinson is part of a CIA advanced program for college students. So you have, he's part of this CIA advanced program, and that program is called CAI.
Oh.
So it's an advanced program for the CIA, but it's called CAI. It's just like it's not CRT, it's TRC.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's not ESG, it's GS, whatever, GSC.
Yeah, of course.
It's the game they play all the time. They mock you in the middle of it. They mock you. So the man behind digital ID, Larry Ellison, you know, owns all these companies, about to own TikTok right out of Israel. He wants data centralization and total surveillance. Play for me.
Your body cams will be transmitting that. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
When you come to government and what government's doing, there are obviously there are artificial intelligence tools, and some of them I know that Oracle have developed around financial management for government. But also, tell us a bit about what, because you're right at the forefront of this revolution, what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, you know, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
How do you take advantage of these incredible AI models? And the first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. And you know, in the Middle East, in the UAE, for example, they're incredibly rich in data. They have a lot of population data. The NHS in the UK has an incredible amount of population data, but it's fragmented. It's not easily accessible by these AI models. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform so we provide context. When we want to ask a question, we've provided that AI model with all the data they need to understand our country. So that's the big step. That's kind of the missing link. We need to unify all of the national data, put it into a database where it's easily consumable by the AI model, and then ask whatever question you like.
So what Larry Ellison is advocating for is a, quote, single unified data platform run by AI.
Single access point?
Is that not be what we've been talking about here for the last 5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve?
What?
Yeah, there it is. So basically, and again, it's not just information like hair and eye color. It's all of your information.
Yes.
It's your debit card. It's your ATM. It's your credit cards. It's your passport.
Your health
insurance. Anything in there you want a tooth pulled. You got to go into this information system that is now governed by AI. So the entrance point to it will be your biometric ID. And it could be shut off anytime you piss somebody off. Which if you're somebody like me, I am always pissing people off. I guarantee you people hated me after Sunday. We had people visiting from another church here on Sunday. I mean, the odds of them ever returning are none. And not only this, but they're talking about this at a conference called the World's Government Summit. I mean, could we be any more out of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation? So now, you can't have people like me talking about this because that's hate speech. Because anything, if you have hate towards anything or anybody, they want to sequester your speech. Cam's video, the unelected EU chief, Ursula von der Leyen, just revealed her blueprint for silencing dissent. So it's called EU Democracy Shield. So they're going to ban all hate speech off of all platforms and all levels of communication, including in your own home or anywhere else you're communicating where anybody can turn you in, which is already happening. And again, 13,000 arrests per year in England alone, 13,000 a year for speech violations, 400 a year in the evil Russian, the evil country of Russia.
Yeah, of course.
400 a year under the evil Vladimir Putin, but under Keir Starmer, 13,000 per year, because you said something like, the Pakistanis are raping our 14-year-olds. Aaron, is that true?
Yes.
Are they raping goats?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. That's a fact. They have all of these farmers now who have to lock up their sheep and goats at night because the Pakistanis come flooding over like an invading hordes of Visigoths and rape their goats. Imagine that. Poor goat.
There's a pretty one right over there.
That one's blonde.
She looks single.
Well, that's a single goat right there.
Ready to mingle.
That looks like a male. Doesn't matter.
I'll take them.
That's a fact. And if I say that, if I simply say you have an inbreeding problem inside of the UK, which they do, they've had to form an entire new department of their government health system because of the inbreeding problem inside of the Pakistani community, because they're inbreeding a bunch of lobotomized children. The kids get out. This is the full accumulation of the facial expressions. They're lobotomized because of the inbreeding of their parents. It's a fact. But if I say that, I'm going to be one of the 13,000 per year arrested in the UK for a speech violation when I'm actually speaking the truth. And not only that, but who then is the arbiter of hate? Because if I express hatred towards a policy, it's still hatred, right? So that's banned.
Yep.
So it all depends on who's in control. But here it is, the EU Democracy Shield. Play for me.
And honorable members, the rise in information manipulation and disinformation, as we hear, is dividing our societies. It is not only eroding trust in the truth, but also in democracy itself. This is why we urgently need the European Democracy Shield. We need more capacity to monitor and detect information manipulation and disinformation. So we will set up a new European Center for Democratic Resilience. This will bring together the expertise and capacity of member states and neighboring countries. You obviously are fearing this new center.
That shouting has become a little bit of a tradition. Can you listen, please, to this discussion and then you'll have the time to speak?
In some communities across Europe, traditional media are struggling. In many rural areas, the days of going out for local paper is a nostalgic memory. This has created many news deserts where disinformation thrives, and this is so dangerous for our democracy. Because informed citizens who can trust what they read and hear are essential to keep those in power accountable. And when independent media is dismantled or neutralized, our ability to monitor corruption and preserve democracy is severely weakened. This is why the first step... Listen careful. This is why the first step in an autocrat's playbook is always to capture independent media. Because this enables backsliding and corruption to happen in the dark. So we need to do more to protect our media and our independent press. And this is why we will launch a new media resilience program. And this media resilience program will support independent journalism and media literacy. But we also need to invest to address some of the root causes of this threat. This is why in the next budget we have proposed to significantly boost funding for media. We also need to enable private equity. We will therefore use our tools to support...
President of the EU, not a scary organization at all. I've always loved the European Union. Haven't you? Just the precursor to one world government. It's just, it's awesome. And to hear the president of the EU explaining how you in Europe can get your life back to normal in that German accent she has, that just sounds so soothing to me. Here's what she says is important to get your life back here. Here she comes.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you? Good to see you.
Before Easter, we promised to the Europeans that we will do everything possible so that they can gain back some normality when planning for their well-deserved summer holidays. So on Monday, the European Parliament and the European Council signed the regulation for the EU Digital COVID Certificate. Oh, it is applicable from the 1st of July on. But if you want to, as a member state, you can sign up early, voluntarily. And that's what Belgium did.
Oh, Belgium, well, Belgium
allows
did it.
As of today, to travel with a certificate. Mm-hmm. And they issue
travel
these
with their certificate.
And here is mine. So everyone who is fully vaccinated or tested negative or has recovered from COVID can get one.
And we have right now 15 member states that have already signed up. And from the 1st of July, all 27 member states have to apply these EU digital certificates for the COVID. I am planning now to start my tour through 27 member states for the Next Generation EU, our recovery and resilient plan. And I'm very curious to test and to see how this certificate will work. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
All right.
That is great.
She held hers up. Can I just take a picture of that? And can I use hers?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. That's fine. That's fine. So essentially what she's saying is you must have your papers. They'll be digital, but you must have some. The other ways of making you have your papers, please.
Any excuse I could find. It's Aaron's fault. I didn't even think of it. Aaron put it up. I cannot help but play that video. It's my
favorite. Have to do it.
It's my favorite video of all time from the place. But anyway, so here you have Ursula von der Leyen, who's claiming, get this now, that saying whatever it is that you want to say is dangerous, and that they are going to set up a EU democracy shield. So they are going to defend democracy via their shield by banning speech and then come to the aid of what they call free media, which is established media, which is leftist media, and enable them to proliferate, enable them to get bigger and bigger while they shrink actual free media. So again, it's always this never-ending word replacement. It's always this, using a word that means exactly the opposite of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Every time, this word inversion, every single time. So whenever they talk about democracy shield, what they're actually talking about is democracy demolition. I mean, imagine this is what she's actually saying. So they are going to tear down all what is free media, which is people like you and me, and then have a media resilience program, and then rebuild media that is totally and completely controlled by their hate speech regulations. And so who will be in charge of speech? Because you can designate anything as hate. I hate what she just said. I hated her digital COVID passport. I hated that, so that's hate speech. It is. There's hatred in it. So it will be banned. And you heard what she said there. She's saying, you're booing this because you fear it. Correct. This is exactly what Adolf Hitler did. This is what Stalin did. This is what Mao did. This is what Pol Pot did. Exactly what she's doing. Banning speech. But here's the thing. Certainly not giving any attributes to any of those authoritarian dictators, but at least they called it what it was. At least they called it what it was. They said we're banning your speech. They said they were confiscating their firearms. They call it by an inverted title. We're banning your speech and calling it democracy. So we're going to defend democracy by banning your free speech. And then I love the whole free media part of it. When she talks about free media. We want to build free media by restraining freedom. So you're not allowed to say certain things, and then she calls it free media. Aaron, can you make that make sense?
No.
I mean, like, that's what she said.
Yeah.
So we are going to restrict what you can say so that the media is free. How is that? Can anybody explain that to me? Truly amazing. Look at this one, Wall Street Apes video. New European Union, Ursula von der Leyen, once again, announces all Americans, this came out today, all Americans visiting nearly 30 EU countries, Aaron, which is almost the entire EU, will be required to surrender fingerprints, biometric data, and your photograph, which will be stored by their government. Play it for me.
If you're planning a trip to Europe, you're going to have to hand over way more than your passport when you get there. As part of a new entry-exit system, visitors to most European countries will have to provide 4 fingerprints and a facial photo at a self-operated kiosk. The information will be stored for 3 years, with the photo being used for ID verification on later visits. Travelers who refuse to provide their biometric data will be denied entry. The goal of the program is to enhance security and speed up border crossings, it is said. The new system is set to be rolled out over 6 months, starting in October, and applies to 29 countries, including popular destinations like France.
I could go on and on and on with this stuff. Here, just play that video right there side by side. I just got to show you this. But I could go on and on and on with this stuff. I could talk about global cabal all night long. There's somebody with a UK flag in the UK having it torn away by the police. You're like, Tom, there's more to it. No, there's not. You're not allowed to wave your own UK flag. You can wave a Palestinian flag. You can wave a Queers for Palestine flag. You can advocate for Gaza. You can do whatever you want there. You can preach Muslim on the street corners or Islam on the street corners, but you cannot preach Christianity on the street corners. Believe me. Aaron, give me a believe me.
Believe me.
It's going the wrong way. If we didn't have Trump and we had Kamala, give me a Kamala, Aaron.
Kamala.
If we had her in office right now, this would be the way that's going inside the United States too. All right, I got to skip to something here. I got to show you this stuff real quick before I cannot let this go without showing this to you. Skip up, would you, Brent, to the Alex Jones video, Breaking Tyler Robinson?
Yep, got it.
You got it. Okay, we're going to shift right to that. Breaking Tyler Robinson confirmed to be in a CIA advanced program. Play it for me.
There was some discussion about waiving the preliminary hearing. The preliminary hearing is an opportunity, as Paul Morrow said, to have a mini trial. You get evidence, you can cross-examine witnesses. It's determining probable cause.
We recognize that we are here today for a waiver hearing. It is not our intent to waive a preliminary hearing in this matter. We are going to be seeking that one be set. However, based largely on what the state just referred to as far as the voluminous nature of the discovery materials, we do think it would be prudent to simply reset for another conference, another waiver hearing, a little bit down the road where we have a better idea once we start seeing the discovery as it rolls in.
Boy, if his lawyers waived the preliminary hearing, then I would say that Tyler Robinson is in MKUltra-style program because those exist. Tim McVeigh was handled by the deputy head of MKUltra, Jolyon West. The Unabomber was handled by the deputy head of MKUltra, Jolyon West. His boss, Ewing Cameron, the head of the program. And it goes on and on. I mean, seriously. Was it Sirhan? Sirhan, too. Yeah, like, oh, hello, let me take care. The feds have attached, this is your psychiatrist. Hi, I'm Jolyon West. I ran the MKUltra program. Oh, and I also was the attending psychiatrist for Jack Rubenstein. Jack Ruby. Yeah, there he is. I mean, so. And it's real simple. They just electroshock somebody so much that they don't remember 6 months back. And by the way, it is confirmed that I shouldn't be laughing. This is all so sick. See, I always say it's coming up, so we're getting into it. Tyler Robinson was in a CIA advanced program for college students, the CAI. That is a fact. And he had a 4.0 grade average. That's who they recruit, boys and girls.
There's nothing to see here. He was just in a CIA advanced program and was perfect in the program. And the program's not called CIA, but CAI. Mm-hmm. I mean... But there's nothing to see here. I mean, and I meant to include this video tonight. For some reason, I thought I sent it in. But again, I think that I send stuff in, but I don't. But anyway, they've totally now extinguished the entire assassination site. They pulled up the sidewalk. They've totally extinguished it. It's gone. It doesn't even exist anymore. The whole basically landscaped infrastructure, including concrete and everything else, now been totally changed.
Yep. Restuccoed.
Yeah, restuccoed. Everything's gone. Grass, everything's absolutely new plants, new trees, new sidewalks, new tiles. Everything's gone.
Yep.
And lo and behold, Tyler Robinson himself was in an advanced CIA program called CAI. There's nothing, Aaron. There's nothing, Brent. There's nothing to see here.
I mean,
there's nothing to any of this.
Of course not.
I mean, Wall Street Apes video. Wow. Professor at Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk was assassinated, was himself formerly in the CIA, and his profile has also been removed. Play it for me.
Hey, guys. So this week I've been doing my own little off-piece Charlie Kirk investigation. Many of you guys have been following along. I've connected a lot of dots between the CIA, the LDS community, the Utah Valley University System, and academic centers in Israel, like the Jerusalem Center and Ariel University. I think I've kind of like reached the end of my investigation. And also I'm like kind of getting nervous. Like I couldn't sleep last night at all. But my main question now is, and I would like to turn it over to the authorities, Kash Patel, Donald Trump, this is kind of like for you to answer now. There was a CIA professor at Utah Valley University, Rusty Needs. He was with the CNSS. I saw his bio, his photo, just a few days ago, like 2 days ago. I took this picture from the website. I got his bio, everything, and he has now like disappeared. I can't find it anywhere online. If anyone can find it, please let me know. I did have this, which is still on the Facebook page. Anyway, where is Rusty Needs? Hashtag, where is Rusty Needs? The CIA agent that works at Utah Valley University. Why has he gone ghost online? Okay, what do you guys think? Comment below. Hey guys, okay, this is a follow-up to my video yesterday on Rusty Needs, the CIA professor at Utah Valley University whose profile has gone missing. Okay, did this video yesterday and now AI is saying that these people don't exist, the six people that I named don't exist, and it's all fiction. Does anybody know if any of these people are real people at Utah Valley University? Okay, so I used AI to search the Wayback Machine, and here are the dates and removals. So his profile was fully accessible on September 24th, 2025, but taken down between September 24th and September 26th. He looks to be the first taken down, followed by six others, also in the CNSS spy school or tied to campus security. These include Dr. Elena Vasquez, National Security Policy Whiz, Professor Mark Harlan, Counterintelligence Ethics Expert, Sarah Klein, Event Logistics Liaison, Jamal Reed, Track Coach with Security Ties, T. Ramirez, Intelligence Simulations Analyst, and L. Patel, Event Planning Coordinator. Now, get this. Yesterday, I got a message from @humanitiesgirly on TikTok saying, hey, so they removed the entire UVU directory from the internet to protect faculty and staff. It's not just him, it's everyone. And then instantly she went ghost. Her profile said not found. So now everyone's profile is down. CNSS, Rusty's department, definitely contributed to Kirk event planning via briefings, but Utah Valley Police ran the security. Also interesting is that at the same time that those seven profiles were dropped from the website, President Tumines quietly removed her significant ties to Zions Bank and Carnegie. What do you guys think? Comment below.
Oh, yeah, it's all just a coincidence, yeah. Right? I mean, the president of the university has strong ties to the Israeli banking system. Then you have, did you see the titles of the six others besides Rusty Needs? So you had Rusty Needs eliminated from existence, who has direct CIA ties. And then the six other intelligence and logistics coordinator and all the titles like that, CIA analyst.
Yeah.
All these people who happen to be working at this university at this time.
Simulation analyst.
What was it called?
Simulation analyst.
Simulations analyst. Oh, simulations analyst. Yeah. That'd be a very appropriate skill set for a situation
useful.
Like this. In a situation like this, right? What are you saying, Tom? Don't know. I just want all the information, and it's all coming out. And why would this just disappear? Am I supposed to keep saying this is all a coincidence? All right, 10:22. That's good. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Thank you guys so much. In the rant, Nate Dad won $50. Jules 21 hours. $20. Supergirl, $21. $20. Mike Griffith, $10. Hefner, $10. Conservative Warrior, $65. $2. Brent gets paid tonight. Woo. We're accumulating a Steak and Shake account for him right now so that we can get his wife back down here and do a Steak and Shake night out for them again, which will cost all of us, the TLP family, me, you, everybody else. It'll cost us somewhere in the neighborhood for those two to eat. They don't eat a whole lot. Probably, Aaron, give me some Trump voice. They don't eat a lot.
They don't eat a lot. But what they do eat is from Steak and Shake.
There you go.
Believe me.
Steak and Shake put up the Charlie Kirk Memorial on a billboard on the side of the highway, so we love them now. Yeah. I'm going to go out of my way to eat a Steak and Shake from now on, which shouldn't be hard for me because I already love Steak and Shake. But anyway, so if we can accumulate $27 for them, we're going to do it. And send them out on another night out.
Done.
All on us here in the TLP podcast family. But anyway, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. You're going to love it. A little longer than normal. It's pretty good, though. You're going to love it. You'll love the last video. Not as light as it usually is. There's some heavy-duty stuff in there. But stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.